Okay. So, as I mentioned last time, we're going to discuss the topic of ksiva, of kosev, of writing on Shabbos in a hospital. So this comes up in many different situations in a hospital. Obviously, it used to come up a lot more. It used to be everything was written down, so the malacha of kosev, literally writing, was happening all the time. Nowadays, the reason why a lot has changed, perhaps not the halachic rulings necessarily, but a lot has changed because everything is electronic. At least almost everything is done electronically. What's not done electronically is people still take their own personal notes as they're going around doing rounds or seeing patients, whatever it is. They're still going to write down the personal notes, but then everything is going to be summarized into, what do they call it, EMR? Is that what it's called? Something like that, right? The big electronic, what does that stand for? Yeah, electronic medical records. That's right, that's going to be the, you're going to type it up into that, and that's really how the patient records are saved, not by writing, obviously. So the big question, and there are going to be specific questions that we're going to have to deal with. So for example, let's say one of the questions that we have kind of mentioned in the past is certain records that you would have to produce electronically. So let's say discharge papers, that's the big question. So discharge papers, it used to be that it was much easier to get around doing it on Shabbos and kind of pull that off. Nowadays, it's a lot more difficult, again, because everything is electronically. We'll explain a little more later when we get to that, but that's one of the big, I guess, newer questions that come up once everything turns electronically. And a few more possibilities. But the first thing we really have to deal with is what's the status of typing on a computer? And for that, typing on your cell phone also, in terms of, is it part of the Malach of Kosev? Is it not part of the Malach of Kosev? So to give a little bit of a background to the Malach in general, so we'll start with the Mishnah on Shabbos. The Mishnah in Shabbos in Kavdalad Amid Beis tells us, HaKosev Sheyosios Balamecha Chayav, good. Kosav v'diyo b'sam b'sikra b'kumus v'kankan tom v'chol davar shiroshim. So a person writes with ink, a pen, anything that can actually leave a lasting mark. Ashei kos leizavis, etc., etc. Chayev. You are chayev. So anytime you write, again, with a pen, with something that can last, or something similar to a pen that can last, you're going to be chayev for the malacha of kosev. I'm going to skip a few lines in the Mishnah. We'll get back to it. But then the Mishnah says, "Kosav b'mashkin b'mei peiros b'avak derachim b'avak asofrim." If a person writes with, you know, fruit juice or with dust or whatever it is, if a chol davar she'eino miskayim or something that can't last, pater, he's going to be pater. So that's a very clear hagdara, clear definition in the Mishnah that you need to write with something that can last. You can't write with something that cannot last. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, when discussing this idea in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Kesvav, the Rambam writes, "Ein hakosev chayiv ad sheyichtov b'davar haroshim v'omid." So a person's only going to be liable for the malacha of kosev if it's something that can last. And then the Rambam adds something new. So the Mishnah only told us you have to write with something that's omid lehiskayim, that can be everlasting. The Rambam then says, "Aval akosev bidavar v'yichtov al davar shemiskayim haksav alav kigon or klaf niar eitz chayotze bahem." Not only do you have to write with something that can be everlasting, you have to write on something, such as paper, klaf, parchment, wood, or skin, hide, right, animal skin. So those things. So the Rambam, and the Rambam's quoting from Tosefta, as the Magen Mishnah tells us. So the Rambam tells us not only is it with something, but it's also on something that's miskayim. Right? So that's a very important hagdara that the Rambam tells us. The Rishonim explain, why do you need all this? This is part of Malachas Machsheves. Part of Malachas Machsheves is it has to be lasting. It can't just be a little nothing. So the question becomes, what makes something miskayim or not? That's a big question in the Malach of Kosev. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tzoveh and Perek Tes Halacha Yod Gimel, the Rambam writes, and just to read one line, "Veina tzoveh chayiv atra yehe tzeva hamiskayim." Tzoveh is only chayiv if it's tzeva, if it's coloring that can be lasting. Av tzeva shein is miskayim would be pater. The kol she'ein malachto miskayemes b'shabes pater. I skipped lines, but the Rambam writes at the end of that halacha that anything that can't be lasting b'shabes on Shabbos is aser. The implication from the Rambam is that only if it's lasting on Shabbos, that's meaning not only, but if it can last through Shabbos, that's considered at least tzviya or any malacha that's miskayemes, that's part of the definition of lasting. So therefore, when it comes to kosev, if what you're writing can last you until after Shabbos, meaning what you're writing with and what you're writing on can both last until Shabbos ends, that would be the malacha d'oraisa. Good?
He's assuming that it's the same by tzviya as by kosev.
Yeah, well, he writes at the end, v'chol malacha, right? That was why I was reading it. The Rambam ends off, v'chol she'ein malachto miskayemes b'Shabbos pater, referring to any malacha. And he's quoting from the Gemara that talks about all malacha. Not just that. So that's the Rambam's opinion. Now the Shaar Tzion, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Shaar Tzion and Siman Shin Gimel and Os Pei Ches quotes that Rashi on Kuf Beis Amud Beis sounds like it's not miskayemes until Shabbos. It's like miskayemes tamid. It has to be lasting forever. Now the Bir Halacha there quotes a middle shita, the Rashba on Shabbos and Kuf Tes Vav, and the middle shita is that it's not that it's lasting until after Shabbos, and it doesn't have to last forever, but that's the last. As if you were writing down a note for yourself to remember. So when you write something down in your book, so you don't expect it to last 3 or 4 days, you expect it to last 3 or 4 years, maybe. That's called miskayemes. But it doesn't have to last 100 years. That doesn't. It has to be last. A typical way to write down that you'll remember, that's what the Rashba says, that's called miskayemes. Right? Good. So that's the machlokes. We have the Rambam on one side just through Shabbos. The Rashi on the other side forever, and the middle is the Rashba that has to last a significant amount of time for you to remember. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a tshuva. It's brought down, the first place I saw it actually is in the sefer we have in the back, Halacha or Fuwa, I think that's what it's called. So there in Chelek Aleph, they have a tshuva that Rav Shlomo Zalman had to the Minchas Yitzchak, which we'll get to in a minute, Blina there. Where Rav Shlomo Zalman, it actually also comes up in his Minchas Shlomo, in Simin Tzadi Aleph. An O C Yud Aleph there. So he discusses, then he brings a few proofs to the Rashba. He discusses the Rambam, he has a proof against the Rambam maybe, but then he says, the Shaar Tzion says this is what the Rambam holds. Good. And then he quotes he says the sheet of the Rashba, and he quotes the Nishmas Adam that says just like that in Klal Chav Dalet. But then he writes two proofs, one lehalacha. One proof is the following. The Shulchan Aruch writes, an Aruch Chaim in Simin Shin Mem in Sifhei, that anyone who, we have a, the Gemara, the Mishnah talks about something called Roshe, making a mark. That's going to be a problem on Shabbos, perhaps under Kosev, perhaps not under Kosev. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, whatever it is, that HaRoshe Bitziporna, if you make a mark with your fingernail on a book, let's say, so that is totally allowed, because that's not Miskayim. That's Eino Miskayim. That's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, hold on a second. Most people who make a mark on the book to remember what page they are, whatever, they expect it to last more than just, 20 hours. If they pick it up in 2 days, they expect the mark to be there so they know where. So obviously, if it's Animus Kayamus, and it can still last more than just Shabbos, so that wouldn't be like the Rambam. That's one proof he has. He has another proof based off the Rambam, which we're going to discuss soon, hopefully, in a few minutes, here in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tazayin, the next Halacha. Based off the Mishnah Shabbos, but the Rambam writes, "Hakosev al b'saro chayav." Someone writes on their skin is chayav. Mipnei shehu or, because it's considered or. That's one of the things that can last. Afal pish chamim was b'saro me'averas haksav. Even though the heat of his skin is going to cause the writing to fade lacher zman after a while, harizadoma lachsav shenimchak. It's similar to erased ksav. So if I remember correctly, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you see from here also that this is considered a ksiv, meaning it's considered a ksiv ashena miskayemes, it's considered as if it doesn't last, but for whatever technicality, the Rambam thinks it's still going to be chayav, but obviously when you're writing your skin, you expect it to last a few days. So what's the chiddush here? Chayav only because, even though it's going to erase, still it's similar to writing and then erasing. What do you mean, Rav Shlomo Zalman says? If you write on your skin in the last 3 days, according to the Rambam, that's definitely Miskayem. So obviously, it's more than just Shabbos, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, and therefore, he seems to hold like the Rashba, which is how Rav HaPoskim assume, that Miskayem doesn't just mean As long as it goes past Shabbos, you're over the Isra D'oraisa. But it means it lasts for a little bit. It lasts for enough for you to remember. This was the big discussion, the reason why those Tzomet pens came out years ago, where you they were right, and then they would erase by themselves. So the idea was, you're right, according to the Rambam, it shouldn't work, because as long as it stays after Shabbos, it's a problem, even if it erases. But according to the Rashba, and obviously definitely according to Rashi, then it wouldn't be a problem because it erases soon. That's not a typical way. You don't write that down to remember something, and it erases within, 36 hours or whatever. Now, practically speaking, as we've mentioned previously, from the information that I have, those Tzomet pens are probably not the best thing to buy. I mentioned previously that my brother's first year in residency, right before he started, he bought them, and his first Shabbos he worked, he used it, and it erased before Shabbos ended. And he almost had a very, very big problem. He luckily was able to remember the notes that he took, but he hasn't used it since. So, and he's not the only one. I've heard other stories of the same. So you have to be careful. But that was where the idea at least came from. Good. Now, the question for us is, what happens with the computer? Right? Is a computer considered a ksiva hamiskayemes? Is it a ksiva that continues, that's lasting, or is it not? Right, on two ends, on the way you're writing and on what's being written on. Right, those are what you need. Rambam says you need both of them to be considered lasting. So, what do you guys think? You think a computer does?
Depends. Not looking, I'm sure, but it depends.
Okay.
The hard drive should be permanent. RAM is not
permanent.
What?
The hard drive won't be permanent either, though.
No, it's permanent in office. It's definitely going to last years.
Assuming.
Okay, yeah, okay, so you're saying good points. Okay, well, so one more thing just to consider is the Mishnah here, the same Mishnah, Kavdalad Amabez, also writes that someone who writes Lachar Yado Baraglo Befib Bimarpiko, if you write with the back of your hand, your leg, your mouth, or your elbow, etc., etc., all those cases, you are Pater. Right, Pater is Pater Aval Aser, it's an Eser Drabanon. The Lacher Yado, Rashi says, Vavach Yado, they explain what it is. Okay, so all those things. So that's, in general, what we would usually term as a Shinoi, right? As a Shinoi, which would be Pater, meaning only an Eser Drabanon. Now, the Rambam writes also in Perek Yud Aleph, Halach Yud Aleph, that anytime you write with your left hand, you're totally, totally Pater, obviously, Aser Drabanon. And this is specific to the Malacha of Kosev. The Mishneh Brura in Simen Shin Mem and Sifkan Chav Beis Kotrim Chayadam, that although by all other Malachos, using your left hand isn't considered a Shinoi, by Ksiva it is considered Shinoi. It's important. The later Achronim discuss this more at length, because there are certain Malachos where it becomes very obvious. The Kalkelos HaShabbos there on the Mishnayos points this out, that if you look at the Gemara in Shabbos and Sadi Beis Amar Aleph, it says if you do Hotzah with your left hand, you're going to be Chayav. The Rambam discusses this in Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Yadalit, that the idea is by Hotzah, it's based off the way you're motzi, the way you would generally carry. So someone generally carries with both their right and left hand, right? If someone would carry with their, knee, that would be a Shinoi. But all other cases wouldn't be a Shinoi. The Abenezer also talks about this. Writing with your left hand is much worse. Right, if I do other malachos with my left hand, I'm not going to be doing such a worse job. But writing, if I'm a righty and I write with my left hand, I do a much worse job. That's what the Avnei Nezer writes in Simin Reish Tes. So either way, and the Chazon Ish discusses it at length, that when we talk about shinuyim in general, so the Chazon Ish points out that shinuyim have to be based off what you're doing. Right, each malacha is going to have a different form of shinoi. So that's why he uses the example also of Hotzah. Right, Hotzah has a specific, that's what the Rambam writes, is kiderech hamotzi, and is the way, generally, that people who do that malacha would carry. A shinoi would be different than that. So now when it comes to writing, there's a unique feature, says the Chayyadam at the Mishnah Berurah quotes, that you can use your left hand, and that's considered a shinoi. Now obviously when it comes to typing on a computer, that's not a shinoi anymore. Right, I type with my left hand, I type with my right hand. So is there such a possibility to do a shinoi? So probably there is, and Nishmas Avram quotes this also, but typing with your knuckles or the back of your finger would also be a shinoi in a case of typing, if typing would be considered kosev a melacha d'oraisa. Good. There's one other aspect which we're not going to get into, of roshim, whether that applies to a computer, but looking at the time, we don't have the time for that, so maybe we'll come back around at the end. Okay, practically speaking, presumably, writing on a computer is not considered kosev at all. Because practically speaking, when you write on a computer, it's not like the letters are there, right? It's like, I remember I once heard someone say, use the phrase, osios porchos ba'avir. It's like you're typing, they're not really on anything, right? They're like, basically, I'm sure Yosef can tell us better, but the way it works is, when you it depends on I guess how old your computer is, but the newer computers especially, the way it works is there are these little flashing lights that kind of are able to, based off your shadow, based off the shadows or whatever, are able to say what you're typing, but they're not there, right? When I close the computer, or I turn off my computer, I don't close it, there's nothing on my screen. When I type, I'm moving those words. So it's not like those words, I'm putting the letters on anything. Right? So because I'm not really putting it on anything, it's hard to say it's ksiva at all. Right? That's at least was my first inclination. Now, it happens to be that there's a tshuva that Rav Vosner has. Rav Vosner was one of the great poskim of our generation. He passed away, I think, 2015, maybe? I think so. I think he lived to 102. I think that's what they say. Okay, so in his tshuvas in Chilek Vav and Simin Lamed Beis, so he thinks that writing on a computer is actually an Isser Dorais of Kosev. And he has really two main proofs. One is that it's not grama, which we're not going to talk about, but the post can discuss a little bit, but he doesn't think this is grama. The other proof, which I'm going to mention relatively quickly because I just think it's an interesting proof and it's an interesting thing to think about. He bases it off, the Mishnah tells us, as I mentioned before, and the Rambam quotes Halacha Lemaisa here in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Dazayim HaKosev Al Bsar Chayev. You write on your skin, you're going to be Chayev. So that's all the Mishnah writes. So the Rambam adds in these language, Mepnei Sheu Or, because it's Or, Afal Pisha Chamimas Bsaro Ma'aver Saksav Lachar Zman. Even though the heat of your flesh, of your skin, is going to fade away, that writing, Harizadom L'Ksav Shenimchak. It's similar to writing something and then erasing something. So that's what the Rambam writes. So Rav Osner quotes the Rav Menachem Zember. Rav Menachem Zember was one of the great Polish Gedolim before World War II. He got murdered in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1941, 1942, whatever, one of those years. They call him a Gaon HaGaonim. He was really one of the great geniuses, and we lost almost all of his works that he wrote pre-war. One of the very, very few works that we do have is called Totzos Chaim. Totzos Chaim is his sefer on the Melacha of Hotza'a. Anyone who learns the first paragraph of Shabbos for sure, but Hilchos Shabbos, that sefer is used all the time. We have it right there on the bottom shelf over there. So in his Totzos Chaim, Rav Menachem Zemba there in Simin Yud Aleph asks the following question on the Rambam. Hold on a second. When I write in a race, so I wrote. But when I write on my skin, I know it's not going to last. Right? I write on a piece of paper with my pencil, let's say. So let's say I come back the next day and I decide to erase it. Okay, but I wrote. It could have lasted. When I write on my skin, I know it's not going to last. So there's a huge difference. So why does the Rambam say they're the same thing? Why does the Rambam say writing on my skin is chayav? Because even though it's going to go away, it's the same thing as writing and then erasing. They're two very, very different things. So Rav Menachem Zeba explains that the idea that ksiva, that writing, needs to be lasting, needs to be a davar shemiskayim, and has to continue on, isn't that when I write, I have to make sure that it's going to last. That's not what it means. It's not on the poel, as he says. It's on the nifal. It's on the fact that when I wrote, did I just write? Was that a real act of writing? Now, it happens to be, then if it gets erased, or it erases after, that's what he calls panim chadashos ba'ul kan. That's a new act. That's called mechika. But when I write, the question is, now that I wrote, do I look at this and say, is there writing? Was there an act of writing? Did that happen? So that's what he explains in this case, in the case of writing on skin, says Rav Menachem Zemba, that writing on skin, I wrote. That was a real writing. Or something that's miskayim. A pen is something that you write that can be lasting. I write on my skin. That's writing. Now, the fact that it may erase over time, that's panim chadashos ba'olakan, that's something totally different. That's just a mechika that happens after. But if you were to look at the action of writing, you would say, yeah, the writing itself is a problem because that writing I know is not going to be lasting. But that's not how we look at it. We don't look and we say, is this action going to last? What we look at is we say, okay, now that you wrote, was that a writing was that a legitimate writing? Right? Did he write with something that can last? Did he write on something that can last? It did? Okay, period. The fact that it erases in, you know, in an hour, like someone can erase in an hour, or the fact that it erases in 3 days is irrelevant. That's how he explains it. So Rav Osner says, from that yisod, from that klal, what you see is that there, when you want something to be written, and you do something to write, that's considered ksiva, even though it may erase very soon, even though it may go away, we consider that a second step. We consider that as if it was a new step, a new mechika. So he says, writing on a computer, you're right, it may not last, but when I write, I want that to be written, I want to write right then and there, and therefore, even though it's going to be gone, either when I shut off the computer, or maybe even in a few seconds, whatever it is, that's considered a new step, a new category, or a new malacha, maybe. That's just mechika, but that's separate from this malacha of kosev. That's how he explains it. Now, I have a little trouble understanding the connection. I understand Rav Menachem Zemba's idea. The jump to writing on it, typing on a computer is a jump. Because those are different things, right? Writing on skin is a lot different than typing on a computer. If typing on a computer is the actual action is a problem, you know, it's not something that can be miskayemes, so that's different than writing on a skin, right? So there definitely is a distinction between the two. But that, nevertheless, Rav Osner holds it's d'oraisa. So anytime someone would type on a computer, that's an iser d'oraisa. However, most poskim do not hold that way. Most poskim seem to hold that it is some form of Isser Drabanan to type on a computer. Now, what is the Isser? It's not so clear. One of the other articles, in Chelik Beis of that Halacha Refua, I don't remember offhand who wrote it, but they wrote also, they have a discussion about typing on writing on a computer on Shabbos, and he says it's definitely not Doraisa, because it's not a Dover Shem Iskayemes. He has a bunch of arguments, which I actually have problems with almost all of his proofs, although I agree with the conclusion, but not that I know more than that. I just struggled a little bit with a lot of the proofs that he brought down. Okay, so I'll just give one example maybe. So one of the things that one of the reasons he wrote that it can't be d'oraisa is because typing on a computer is not miskayim me'atzman. The letters aren't upheld by themselves, right? The letters on the computer are only kind of, because these flashing lights in a computer, and then when you shut it off, the letters are gone. So it's like they're not, it's like what I was calling porchos ba'avir, right? They're not really there. But he says, and he compares it, at least, to, there's a din based of the Gemara in Zvachim on Yitesem and Beis, that anytime you do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, a Kohen goes to do the Avoda, he washes his hands, so he has to be standing, the Pasuk tells us. So the Gemara there discusses what happens if someone, he's leaning on someone. Ismicha ka'amida. Is leaning on someone, is that like standing or is that like sitting? Tosfos there point out, the same would apply to Kriyas HaTorah. So there's a long discussion, a lot of different places in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, in Kuf Mem Aleph, and in Choshen Mishpat, in a few places. But the Ramah in Choshen Mishpat, in Simen Yad Zayin, and the Shulchan Aruch also quotes this in Choshen Mishpat. And Simen Chav Ches basically says, Smicha is ki yeshiva. If you lean on someone, in whatever din that you need amida, in Kol HaTorah Kula, leaning is considered as if you're sitting. Now, there sometimes will be mekel in certain scenarios, not for right now. So he says the same thing here, just like leaning on someone, right? If they would pull a chair out, it was as if you were sitting. That's called sitting. So too, when it comes to typing, because if you turn off the computer, there's nothing to type on. I don't know. I find that analogy very, very hard to swallow. Right? When I write on a computer, so the question is whether it's miskayim or not. Right? He assumes it's there is ksiva here. When I'm talking about leaning on a person, so that leaning is not like, it's not like, oh, it's standing, but not so much. No, it's either called standing or, there are only two options by standing. Standing or sitting. When it comes to writing, so it's either writing, not writing, or it's writing on a dover shein of a skyim, or, right, so it's a very strange comparison, yeah?
Maybe it's miskayim, the binary is miskayim or not, so if you're leaning on someone, either standing or sitting, you're standing, though your standing is dependent on the presence of someone else, so too when you're writing, it's dependent on the computer being plugged in. If the computer were not plugged in, it would not be there, so it's in miskayim.
Yeah, and what about a paper? Let's say your paper wasn't there, so you couldn't write.
No, but the paper is what you
write on, right? So it was the computer.
The paper, but then you've taken the writing with the paper.
No, but let's say, meaning if I write on a piece of paper, so I can say, okay, but if you didn't have a piece of paper, there would be no writing, right?
Then you couldn't have written, it's not...
I mean, you need, the computer, the computer itself is like a piece of paper. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying what the plug is the person you're leaning on. You wrote on the computer's holding the letters. If you do something else that's not the screen
Outside the paper.
You move the paper.
Yeah,
so
yeah. No, it's very possible.
You move the table from under the paper.
Definitely not so clear. Like, I agree, it's not so clear, but it makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah, no, he has a bunch of one of the other arguments he has. Just to give one more, he has I think four or five. But one of the other ones he says is when you write letters on a computer. So basically, what it is, it's flashing lights, and the flashing lights are like they're at a speed you can't see, so we can't recognize. So what he says is that's nothing because it's just flashing lights, but they turn off. We just can't see it, so they're constantly turning on and turning off. It's just we can't see it, and that's one of the arguments he made. So we've had shiurim on the concept of lo nisnator lemalache asharis, the concept that Gemara discusses in a few places. The Torah wasn't given to malachim, and the poskim uses in a lot of different examples. One of them is actually by ksiva, by little pictures, photographs of a sifrei Torah, etc. That if it's something your eye can't see, ayin lo sholeh b'ayin, then we don't consider that. Something that we can discuss. That's just not part of the equation. So just like if I can't see the tiny, tiny little bugs in my water, that's lo nisnator lemalache asharis. So you're right, I can't see the flashing lights. But what I do see is that there's writing on the computer. So again, I agree with the conclusion. I don't think it's ksiva. But just a few of the rayos, the svaros he brings, I don't fully understand. Not that I don't agree with. I don't fully understand. So the question to me really is, if you don't hold like Rav Osner, that it's a raisa, the question is whether this is called ksiva d'rabbanan, or it's not ksiva at all, which is what I would lean towards, and therefore it's just a problem of electronics. Electronics on Shabbos, which would, for most, assume that it's an isir d'rabbanan. Now, there's no real difference whether you say it's ksiva d'rabbanan, or electricity d'rabbanan, it's both an isir d'rabbanan, but that's what Rov HaBoskim seem to go more towards that route. Now, there happens to be a tshuva that Rav Shlomo Zalman has, which we'll maybe discuss now. In Nishmas Avram, he writes in Simon Shin Mem. So he has a lot of footnotes on a lot of different issues of Kosev at the hospital. I actually just saw it this morning. But there he brings Rav Shlomo Zalman, who writes that he thinks the same thing. He thinks that Ksiv is not Midorei. So he also brings a few people. It happens to be, it's not just Ashkenazi. In the Abi Omer, Chacham Avadi writes, in Chelak Ches, in Or Chaim, in Simon Mem Ches, so he also writes that it's not Ksiva. He compares it to Chalom Oed, which I was going to discuss, so I don't think we'll have the time. But just like with Chalom Oed, so there's no Ksiva when you type on a computer. That's not called Ksiva. There's electricity there, not called Ksiva. So anyway, so he quotes that Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote to him, to the Nishmas Avram, that although typing on a computer is not Ksiva Midoreisa, however, if you have a, like what they used to have, these little disks in the computer, that's like kind of what it would be saved. We don't really have that anymore.
Floppy disks?
Yeah, like a floppy disk or a disk on key. You know, those little... No, but that was how they would... The information would be on that. If I tap on my... Like, let's say you have a Mac, so it goes to the cloud, doesn't it?
No, it's saved locally. It's a weird...
It's saved locally, but it's also not saved locally, right?
Yeah, it's the issue is RAM versus solid state versus there's like three or four. It surpasses the point of explanation. There would be three or four different methods of.
Anyway, so, exactly. So it used to be there wasn't that.
Right.
It used to be
only be one way, and if that was like you literally were carving into the disk, you'd have punch cards and you'd put
exactly.
Like that's
good. Yeah.
Much closer to being obviously.
Yeah, so he doesn't think it's ksiva, but he says that, and then also, let's say you would use a cassette recorder. That's really where it comes up. You have a cassette recorder. So what's that? So he says those aren't ksiva, but those are melacha d'oraisa of bone. Why? So he explains, Rav Neubert explains that if you think of a cassette recorder that's empty, it's considered, what?
Writable and rewritable. So you can write on some of them, and you can't, if you write over it, it's just going to, like, it's not going
to. Oh, really?
And then there's
I didn't know that.
Meaning, like, you can actually flip them on off.
Oh, interesting.
So, like recording over a VHS tape, so the early ones, you couldn't, if you recorded over something, it would just double up and you'd lose the picture.
Interesting.
Whereas the newer ones were rewritable, and you could write over the previous thing and it would actually
Oh, very cool. Okay, I didn't know that.
Right.
Okay, it's good to know.
It gets very complicated in terms of like what's permanent writing versus not.
Yeah.
So the older one, we're much more permanent.
Yeah, so he's talking about, I mean, this is when Avshalom Zalman was talking about this, obviously, it was 30 or 40, at least 40 years ago. Yeah. So anyway, so he writes, it's a melacha bonen, and Rav Neubert explains, because think about it, you have a cassette recorder that has nothing on it, it's just like a dead body, it's nothing. Then when you put, you record into it, so now you give that chias, you give it life, and it becomes a kli. Now it becomes a real vessel that can be used. So that's why it's bonen. But again, as we've explained, that does not apply to our computers. They actually writes in another place, in Nishmas Avram there, the same would be, they used to have these like palm pilots that they would write on. So he said, according to Shlomo Zalman, that would also be, anytime you feed information into the palm pilot, it would be melach of bona. Now, presumably our electronics don't work the way that he thinks that worked. I don't know. Ours, we have all this information. You're not making it into a kli. It's already all the patient information, especially the EMR, is everything. So it's not just, so presumably that doesn't apply. And the only problem is whether this is kosev midrabanan or a problem of electricity, of electronics, both which would presumably be a milacha d'rabanan. Good. One thing that may be milacha d'raisa would be printing. Right? So that would be a problem. So if someone really needed a print, which doesn't happen too much, you can usually pass it off to another resident, another doctor there. But obviously the only way to go about it is to use a shinoi, to use your knuckle, your foot, whatever, however you can do a shinoi. But ideally try to avoid that. There are certain documents in a hospital that aren't just electronically used or given. Very few, but there are. For example, a surgical consent form is not electronic. Right? It's written. The doctor has to write, and then the patient has to sign. Surgical consent form, also, you can't really do before Shabbos. Other things you may be able to write, but you may not know. So that, obviously, in terms of pikuach nefesh, you're going to have to do it, but if you can do a shinoi, so as the Gemara in Kuf Chav Ches in Shabbos tells us, and the Ramah Paskins in Shin Chav Ches in Sif Yod Beis, kol efshar anytime, kol efshar l'shinuyeh mishanina, now anytime you can do a shinoi, we try to do a shinoi, so therefore, even in this case, even if it was pikuach nefesh and you needed a surgery, ideally you should sign with your left hand, if possible. Again, all these cases, if you can't do a shinoi, if it would make it worse, obviously, that's not a thing. You know, the example that people always give is, we say kol the efshar l'shinuyeh mishaninon, you should try to do a shinoi whenever possible. So if it used to be, when there wasn't Uber and people, it was hard to get taxis, so the doctor would drive in. So we don't tell a doctor, drive in with your feet, instead of your hands, obviously, because that's going to cause another case of pikuach nefesh. So obviously, only when you can do a shinoi, but you definitely should do a shinoi when possible. Another form that's actual physical writing is what they give you, what's called an AMA, I think is what it's called, against medical advice. That when a patient wants to leave, so you have to give them a form to sign. So that's also, you have to write something, you have to fill out something, and then they sign it, from what I'm told. That's also written. I mean, it's obviously something's printed, but it's also written. So for that, the post can discuss that there's really no heter for writing an AMA. I happen to have spoken to a few doctors who pointed out that sometimes first-year residents don't know that it's not illegal to leave the hospital, obviously, without signing an AMA, right? If someone were to walk out, they're not going to arrest him. So what happens is the doctor, after Shabbos, has to type in, I spoke to this person and he told him the risks of leaving, and he left anyways. So it may be annoying. You may have to go back to write to make sure that you have it covered, but there's no, legally speaking, you don't necessarily have to give them an AMA, and the post can discuss that you're really not supposed to because you're not allowed to write on Shabbos. There's no heter for this person who's leaving. Again, the AMAs are only signed for insurance. They're not for the chola. They're for the legal reasons, for insurance, for a hospital, not to hold them liable. So that's presumably not. Another, this is all electronic, but another thing that the post can discuss that you really can't do on Shabbos, and the Shmir Shabbos Gelchazar writes this in Simon Lamed Hay there. And Siv Dalid, I think the Nishmas Avraham also points out, is death certificates. So death certificates, again, are all electronic nowadays. But again, the post can point out that you really have no heter to use it. Again, it may only be Drabana nowadays as opposed to, 20 years when it was Midoraisa because you had to write it. But there's really no heter to for a death certificate. Now, it happens to be... Okay, so then presumably there would be a heter. If it's Pikuach Nefesh, then for sure there would be a heter. But other than that, even though it happens to be that the hospitals won't release a body to a family until a death certificate is signed, so I'll take it to the morgue, and that presumably can cause a lot of pain, a lot of tsar, there's still, our hands are kind of tied. There's really no heter to allow for someone to sign a death certificate on Shabbos that I know of. And that's what the poskim say. There may be heter that I'm unaware of, but at least that I know of. The big question is always discharge papers. So discharge papers now are electronic. So what it used to be is that because they were written, so, you know, a doctor would go over to the nurse and say, we're discharging him. And the nurse would say, okay, I need the discharge paper. And, you know, the firm doctor could say something like, okay, I'll give it to you after the guy goes, after the patient goes. Or says, oh, I just lost it in my office. I'll get it to you. And he can kind of push it off till after Shabbos. That's what it used to be. But now it's all electronic, so it's impossible. Right, because the nurse looks on her screen, and only when it's, you know, green and says this patient can leave, is discharged, will she discharge the patient. Before then, she just won't. Okay, so then maybe just don't do anything. But the problem is, because most New York, at least New York City hospitals, but I assume most big hospitals for sure, are really at about 100% capacity. And because of that, anytime you discharge a patient, immediately another sick patient comes. So the beds are always needed for actual sick patients. So you have, if you have a patient that can be discharged, presumably he's under a Chol HaShe'ein Bo Sakana category. So if you don't discharge him, then perhaps the Chol HaShe'ein Bo Sakana that's in the emergency room won't get that bed. So because of the kulos of, number one, this is electronic and midrabanan. Number two, you can still use a shinoi, you know, the back of your hands, whatever it is. And number three, because it's possible that there's a real Chol HaShe'ein Bo Sakana that's going to need that bed. So because of that, there is room to be makel for discharge papers on Shabbos. Again, assuming those things are really there. So if you know that the bed's not going to be used at least for another, you know, 2 hours, then presumably you have, you know, no real heter to just sign a patient. But in a typical hospital, usually, that's just, they're just exchanged. And the new patient comes in. So Rav Sobolovsky also, I asked him, and he thought this was true also, that there is room to be makel in such a case to allow to sign discharge papers on Shabbos. Yeah.
I'm just listening. I wanted to see about the mitzvahs, about the AMA papers. I don't think that that's true anymore. What I noticed when I was at the hospital is they do not let patients leave until they sign the AMA form because it's a liability for the hospital.
Yeah, so that's what we said. However, let's say you're a patient. And you just walk out.
Yeah, so security actually chased down a patient.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, they do not let the patient leave until he signs it.
Wow.
At least at Wakefield, that's what I saw.
Yeah, the hospital, I've been to, I know in Columbia when I went, you were able to, in the Heights, you were definitely able to just leave. But I guess it always depends on, number one, I guess, what type of season, how busy the emergency room is. So maybe some hospitals you can't. I still don't think that there's much of a heter to allow you to sign an AMA. You'd probably have to pass it off to someone else. But that's interesting. I didn't know that there are hospitals that do that. Okay, so there's something to think about. That there are hospitals that actually, the security won't let you leave unless you sign an AMA.
Right.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I. But still, the post can point out there's really no heter to a... You're not signing for the chola. You can only be docha Shabbos... as little as you can when there's a real chola.
But if it was true, then that would...
Oh, for the chola.
It would make it more like a discharge summary. Because the bed needs to be free for the guy in the emergency room.
Yeah, if possible. But emergency rooms... Yeah, if that were true, if you knew that there was a bed that needed and this guy couldn't leave, then it could be like a discharge summary. Yeah, 100%. I think a lot of times AMAs are people are waiting so long in the emergency room and they're not getting seen and they're just like... I remember when I first went to get tested for COVID years ago when it first started... I was in the emergency room. I was there for like an hour and a half, and I remember calling my brother and asking if he knew anyone in Colombia to try to, and he said no. He's like, but if you don't get seen soon, you can just walk out.
Well,
like,
AMA from inpatient. Of course.
Okay, so I was talking about the emergency room. Inpatient, yeah, inpatient's a discharge paper.
No.
If they want to leave, yeah, but it would be the same as I agree. If you're an inpatient, I apologize for that. I meant for an emergency room. If you're inpatient. On most wards. So, and the person wants to leave, yeah, that's going to be the same as a discharge paper. But if anything, you should discharge him because then you won't have to write, is the problem.
Yeah, you can't discharge unless it's medically ready for discharge.
Yeah. But presumably there would be those sniffim of needing the bed, number one, and if you can get it down to a drabana and bishinoi, then there definitely would room to be makel in those cases. Okay. Shkaich. Okay, we're going to stop here.